This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio. I'm Father Ian Dullinger, and I'm playing with food. In case you're wondering, the music is Crack the Walnut by Roger the Shrubber. When driving up Highway 101 at San Ardo at exit 363, there is a huge grove of bushy trees lining the east side of the highway. That grove started intriguing me on my trips to the Bay Area, particularly when the leaves went from green to a shimmering white and their white-barked trunks. I had a hunch of what kind of trees they are, but I couldn't find anything online about them. Then, through my ecclesiastical network, I contacted a farmer who is a parishioner at St. Matthew's Episcopal Church in San Ardo, who confirmed my hunch that the grove is walnut trees, and he knows the growers. So I spent some time with Gordon and Vicky to learn more about their 27,000 walnut trees.
My name is Gordon Rosenberg, and I do as little as I can get away doing.
But you grow walnuts.
Well, Tomas and I learned together. Neither one of us had anything to do with walnuts. And he's worked for me most of his adult life. And we just learn as we go.
Okay, how long have you been growing walnuts?
Well, you planted them in 1967, the first orchard.
So, 52 years.
Yeah.
Okay. 52 years. Yeah, it's a long time. What does it take to grow walnuts?
A lot of time. Takes years and years. It's a long-term deal. It's a lifetime program. And then for me, it was really interesting because we have to do our own harvesting and our own hulling, and we had to design and build a plant to handle the walnuts. And when we're harvesting, we can harvest 100,000 pounds each day. Wow. After day after day.
That's a lot. What is required to grow walnuts?
Soil that's good enough to grow trees on, and water, and climate that's just right. I planted walnuts and they grew good, and I didn't go and study anything in school about walnuts. I planted some, they were vigorous. When I planted my orchard, people usually go out and buy little seedlings about 3 feet tall. I had land and water, and I was tight on the cash, and I put seeds in the ground.
Just a raw walnut?
Yeah.
You just took a raw walnut, you stuck it in the ground, and it grew.
They grow, they're seeds. Before I put it in the ground, I had a called a walk-in box for, like, if you kill a steer or something, it's cold, you know. And I went to the lumber yard and got, they had a lot of sawdust I didn't want. And I put that in the walk-in box, and I mixed it with walnuts and wet it down with water. And that kept the walnuts nice and damp. Pretty soon, out of the end, a little white shoot would grow. And they just took off. And then when they were ready to grow, then I took them and put them out. And I didn't know whether to put two or three or how many. And then I put four or five in each spot. I had a lot of walnuts. And then I wasn't certain whether, if you got walnuts up, like say a foot or two tall, is it better to take them all out but one, save the biggest one? Or leave them in where they're competing against each other. And I discovered somehow my choice was to leave them all in as a bunch. They grow more vigorously than one would by itself out in the wind and sun and all. And then later on, I eventually, of course, cut them all. You only have one tree in one spot.
So there's like more than like 27,000 trees overall. Some of them were planted, like you said, as a seed, and some of them were a seedling that then got grafted to the variety that he wanted.
You've been doing this for 52 years, and you've got 27,000 trees, more than 27,000 trees. You have different varieties. Now, we don't think of walnuts having different varieties because we go to the store, we buy a bag of walnuts,
yeah,
we make our cake,
yeah,
and that's it. So how many varieties of walnuts do you have?
Two. Ashley and Chandler, they got ripe one first ahead of the other one. What are you going to do if they all get ripe at the same time? So that was the thing that I found out. Oh, this variety was earlier and this other variety was later. So I planted my fields that way. We start in the first part of October with our first harvest. By the time we get done with the first variety, the second variety is ripe and ready for harvest.
What's the taste difference between the two varietals?
The Ashleys have a tendency to have a little more flavor than the Chandlers.
But they're not as pretty looking.
But the Chandlers are a lighter color. They're better on the market to be light. Some people look at the Ashleys and they're a darker color and they think, oh, that's not good. Okay. So that's a marketing.
We want pretty food. We want, perfect carrots.
Yep, perfect walnuts.
Well, is it possible to go see the walnuts in all of their glory?
I'm happy to drive you around. I guess Vicky will get in this here, yeah.
With over 27,000 trees, the plantation is quite big. The tour included the shop, where the equipment is located, the processing plant, and of course, the trees themselves.
So do you still have your original trees?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'll show them to you. Right out in front of our house. See these up here? These walnut trees?
Mm-hmm.
These are the original ones.
And are they still producing as much as they were originally?
We get big, huge crops. I think they go up and down each year, depending on the weather, maybe. You don't see any walnuts on the trees, and you don't see any walnuts on the ground. And that's what makes me happy, because we've already harvested. I had a friend and his wife that were here, and we were going to give them some walnuts, and they said, oh, we'll just go out in the orchard where you already harvested and pick up the ones you missed. And they came back after about 35 minutes, and they had the 6 or 7
That's a pretty good job.
You can't harvest until the hull dries up and will drop off easily. That's what makes us wait. For the hull, by Mother Nature, in the beginning, they're part of the shell. And then they loosen up. They'll even split open a little bit, and they'll loosen up from being stuck to the shell, because we have to be able to separate the hull off the shell. That's when they're ready to harvest, when that'll happen.
And then you just leave the hull on the ground and it fertilizes the soil?
We have piles and piles, so we have a spot where we can go dump it. It's worthless. These two walnuts are ready for harvest. See how the hull's coming off? See how it separates? Mm-hmm. But you have to wait for the ones like this. They don't all ripen at the same time. So you have to wait for these, because if you shake the tree, those will fall and these won't. They just stay on the tree. Then you have to come back a second time. So we wait and do it all in one time, and we go really fast. Get a lot of equipment and do it one time instead of harvesting twice. You can see here on this tree here, a lot of them are open. But there's some that aren't, and they're not ready. And I don't want to shake these loose and then have to come back in 2 weeks again. I want to wait a week or two and then do it all at once.
Yeah. Can I go over here and look at these ones on the ground? Oops, I just stepped on a walnut.
See the difference up there? That is because of blight.
One that's half black and half green.
Yeah, yeah. That particular walnut has a blight from the rain. It's like a spore. See, like some of the walnuts are okay and some of them are not. The hull didn't protect the nut, so it's like the nut has died inside.
So it's really about the green hull splitting perfectly and showing the tan-colored or walnut-colored shell.
Yep, yep.
We tasted some of the walnuts right off the tree.
If you ate it now, what would it taste like?
It's bitter. And it tastes kind of funny on your tongue. Does it taste kind of funny on your tongue?
Tastes a little bit funny. It's not bitter.
It still has moisture in it. So when it goes through the drying process, then the moisture comes out. We have to dry them to 8% or less before we ship them. So if you keep a lot of moisture in it and ship them over 8%, and when they go to the handlers, then it ends up that they've got too much moisture and they sweat.
Back in the car, we headed for the production end of the walnut growing industry with a few more things about managing the grove along the way.
The leaves are different on different trees.
Oh, we sprayed for sunburn.
So this spray goes on there so the leaves don't get sunburned.
Yeah.
And not only for the leaves, it's also for the walnut.
Right, the walnut itself.
So, all been sprayed because they're along the road where they sunburn.
So you sprayed just the ones along the road, so the ones inside the grove are more protected?
Yes, that's correct.
See the sunlight here and there in the orchard? If you let the trees keep growing, it's all shaded. And then your walnut production drops way off. When I was getting ready to plant walnut trees, they had a walnut day up in a different area, and I went up there. I saw this guy's orchard, and it was with big trees, and he had on from the top down about 8 or 10 feet was a lot of walnuts. It was all shaded, no leaves down low. It didn't look like this. All over these trees where you see leaves, they bear walnuts there where the leaves are. And this other guy's orchard, it was all just bare trunks up high.
Then we saw and heard some of the equipment.
That's a sweeper with a blower on the back of it, and this up here is a shaker. This is the part that clamps onto the tree trunk. If you guys want to get out and see it.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Them out in the middle, and the blower blows them across so that where the tree's row is, so when you come back the other direction, your sweeper can pick them up. They sweep so you don't run over walnuts. This clamp's closed and then starts vibrating, and then the tree limbs start shaking. And if the walnuts are ripe, they'll fall off and drop on the ground. We wait until we can shake them all in one shake.
Okay.
I'll let one or two walnuts on, but not 20 to a tree. I wait longer.
The sweeper just went over there.
There's your shaker. Then there's the harvester over there. I don't see the sweeper.
The sweeper's over there.
Over there.
Oh, there's a sweeper. On the left is the harvester.
And that goes and picks up the walnuts?
The sweeper puts them in a row about 3 feet wide and about 6-8 inches in the middle tall, a big row. It's got leaves, a few sticks in it. And then the harvester picks them up and fills these carts. Well, there's a cart behind the harvester now.
Okay, and it looks like there's a grate on the top to keep big sticks from going in.
Exactly, yeah. Sticks, yeah. He just drives right over here and drops them down in there. That's open, see? And then they go up there and they go into a blower. I'll go around the other side here. That's our runoff water. It's got water down in the bottom because that's our water level.
Okay, so they go in a big hole and then they go up that conveyor belt. And when they get into this machine, what happens to them?
They come up the elevator and then that tan colored machine has a big blower on it, and it blows leaves or little branches and stuff out. And then they come down below it is a shaker, and we're separating the stuff we don't want from the walnuts. And then the walnuts come up and fall into a big roller thing with spaces, and they roll, and all the little stuff drops out through the bottom and goes into the garbage. We used to have a little platform and 10 ladies working on it that handpicked bad stuff out. And now we have an electric eye that sees them and goes in the air, blows the bad walnut out. So we don't have 10 ladies working for us anymore.
And then from this machine, where do they go?
Well, first of all, they have to get dried. So over here, it takes the hull off and also separates the bad walnuts out. So we just have good walnuts coming up the elevator into the dryer. And the dryer, see those squares of plywood. Mm-hmm. We used to have little dryers stacked out here. You had to move them from one dryer for two bins with two openings on each bin. Then we were able to get one great big dryer. So we have down here two great big dryers in the back. They blow down from below those square boards. It's all an open chamber. And there's holes in the bottom so we can adjust them each. There's six bins. And the reason we have six bins together is because that's one truckload and that's how we ship them. So we got two of those rows. So we can fill them each day, dry them during the afternoon and night, and then move them to that hopper around the other side that's up high. Then all we have to do when the truck arrives is he drives underneath and we pull the gate open and the walnuts just flow the loaded truck, the whole truck, in about 20 minutes. See that weight?
Yep.
But we just take that off and pull the lever out and they just flow into the truck and fill it in a hurry. We can fill a truck up in, I think it's 20 minutes.
And from there they end up all over the world?
Yeah, wherever they go.
What do you do the 9 months of the year when you don't have to harvest?
And there's all kinds of jobs for the crew. Mowing and spraying and irrigating, pruning.
When you say pruning, obviously trees do better when they're pruned, right? We all know about pruning. So you have to prune every single one of these 27,000 trees every year?
Pretty much.
We're always doing something.
This simple nut, which is everywhere, in every type of dish, and easy to find and to eat, actually requires a lot of work to produce. Just the orchard itself is an investment. Every one of them, from saplings to the 57-year-old trees, requires care and attention. Then there's the harvesting, the sorting, and the drying. All that happens before they even get processed for packaging and distribution. There was one thing I was curious about, though. Vicky shared with me the innovations in the walnut growing industry.
So this shows you the different applications. These are all walnut shells.
And then this?
Well, it shows you, like it says, blasting, microblasting, polishing, and it's according to, see these different, see like 0119, you'd look up that number. And then this particular grind of the walnut shell would then be used for these things over here.
So the shells are being used as abrasives. The different grinds or particle sizes or mesh sizes have specific applications like blasting, cleaning, polishing, and filtration. The shells are crushed, ground, and classified to standard mesh sizes. The company whose grinds Vicky showed me has a huge array of uses for walnut shells, including exfoliants in cosmetics and soaps, fillers in paint, resins, plywood, adhesives, ceramics, dynamite, tile, and livestock feed, decoration in molded plastics, water filtration, bedding and cage liner for household birds and pets, and some sort of use in the oil industry that I didn't quite understand from the description. That's all pretty cool. After the grand tour of the walnut plantation in San Ardo, I decided that I couldn't play with food in my kitchen in any sort of unique way with walnuts. They are enjoyed in every type of food, from salads and smoothies to baked appetizers and cheese platters to hummus and vegetables, pizza and tacos to tea balls and baklava. Walnuts even feature in cocktails and lattes. There was nothing more interesting that I could do in my kitchen than you could find in a standard cookbook, never mind an extensive web search. But Gordon? He's got the key to consuming walnuts.
You've been growing walnuts for 52 years. Surely you save some for yourself.
Well, we don't buy what we eat from the grocery store. Yeah, I mean, they go on cookies and cakes. They go on ice cream.
Well, and what's your advice that you say? To eat 12 walnuts a day keeps the doctor away?
Oh, well, it's just a phrase I have because I'm pretty old and I'm very healthy. And why not attribute it to walnuts? Why not? Can't argue against it.
There you go. 12 walnuts a day keeps the doctor away. The Central Coast continues to prove that we can produce everything we could ever desire. So get yourself a bag of California walnuts, make some baklava, some vegan walnut meatloaf, or simply sprinkle some toasted walnuts onto a huge scoop of Central Coast-made ice cream. And with the apple walnut muffin recipe from the California Walnut website, perhaps you can keep the doctor away forever. This is KCPX Central Coast Public Radio. I'm Father Ian, and I'm playing with food.